Good morning, everybody, on this beautiful Sunday in July, sixth Sunday after Pentecost. I welcome you in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Deacon Bill, Cantor Dave, our computer guru, Karen Whitten, our soloist, Dick Graybill, and yes, you're going to get to hear him sing again, and this time, I promise you're going to be able to hear him sing, because I understand there was a glitch the last time, and myself. We welcome you as we worship together via live streaming with Zoom. So each Sunday, as we have been gathering together for worship, I've been sharing with you things that I am thankful for, that you are thankful for. So I always ask the question, what are you thankful for today? So I'm thankful that the rain came and the warm sun and my flowers are finally growing. That fits right in with our gospel lesson this morning. But I'm also very thankful for the hard and patient work of our call committee here at St. Matthew and the ability to make this announcement, which you have also received as an e-blast this week. And I am reading exactly what I was told to tell you. There is a special congregation meeting via Zoom live streaming on Sunday, July 26th, 2020 at 10:15 following our service at 9:30. A letter indicating more details will be mailed this week to all members. Truly, this is a very exciting time for all of us. And so along with that announcement comes this one. Next Sunday, July 19th, there will be a practice congregation meeting immediately following our Zoom worship service. You are invited to please stay online after worship. This will be a trial for the call meeting and will give everyone a chance to test their Zoom skills or to help improve them. We will be reviewing how questions can be asked of our candidate on July 26th. And how votes will be submitted online. Look for details in a letter that will arrive later this week. So because of the importance of these two events, I'm going to repeat them. There's a special congregation meeting via Zoom live streaming on Sunday, July 26, 2020 at 10:15 following our service at 9:30. A letter indicating more details will be mailed this week to all members. And the other announcement, I repeat again, next Sunday, July 19th, there will be a practice congregation meeting immediately following our Zoom worship service. Please stay online after worship. This will be a trial for the call meeting and will give everyone a chance to test their Zooming skills or to help improve them. We will be reviewing how questions can be asked of the candidate on Sunday the 26th and how votes will be submitted online. So look for details in a letter that will arrive later this week. So those are the two major announcements, but now I'm going to speak to you as your pastor and as a member of this congregation. In all honesty, once in a while I get a little frustrated because I hear complaints that we are not communicating with you. We are living in a very difficult time, where everything that we are accustomed to has gone up in smoke, literally. If you are concerned about a member of our congregation, please just pick up the telephone and call them. Please don't call me and complain that you're not getting information. Just pick up the phone and call the person. They will love to receive a phone call. And the other thing is, we send out e-blasts twice a week. So many of you are not even opening the e-blast, so you, That's our communication. Messengers have been mailed out. Messengers are on e-blasts. Please take the time to read them before calling and complaining to me that we're not communicating. So, no complaints allowed if you don't open your mail or your e-blast. And I'm trying to say this to you with a smile and a light tone of voice, but please, you need to help us and do your part. We are communicating with you. So, end of that little message for now. So, get your phones ready to send the peace of Christ to someone when we share it together today, and let us prepare our hearts to worship God. My prayer is that our time together will be a time of peace and hope and grace for each one of you. We begin worship with a brief order for confession and forgiveness, which you can also find on page 94 of your LBW, of your ELW. That dated me, didn't it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves, and we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors, our families, our friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand, and let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for each one of us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to each one of you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So now, kids, it's our turn. And I did bring Toby with me today. So let's see if I can walk around here without tripping on something, because that would not be good. Okay. Hey, Tobe, you think the kids are up and awake this morning? You think so? I hope so. What about Nate, Kate, Jillian, Rachel? Are you there? Elizabeth and Christopher and Olivia and Allie, are you guys there? Rachel, David, Harrison, Benjamin, Grace and Brian, I hope you're all there, kids. So, good morning to you from Toby and from me. And we just have the best gospel lesson this morning, and I wish we could be outside in our butterfly garden, because that would be the perfect place to be this morning as we talk about the seeds in the ground and growing. But we can't be out there right now, can we? So, we're going to be right here in the church where it's nice and air-conditioned, and I can talk to you a little bit about the person who is sowing the seeds. So a sower is somebody who takes a bunch of seeds, puts them in the ground. Now, maybe you've helped your parents plant a garden this spring, because I think a lot of people have been doing that this year. And when you were doing that, I bet you had very careful rows. You made sure that the carrots were in one row and the tomatoes were in another row and the zucchini were in another row. You were very careful what you planted where. I planted 5 different kinds of basil, and it's growing like crazy. And now I have to admit, I don't know what to do with all of it because I have way too much. But our story is not just about the seeds that were in the ground. Our story in the gospel is about the person who planted the seeds. That person is God. And you know, what I just love about this story is that God just takes those seeds. It's like he has a great big bag of grass seed and he throws it anywhere. And God doesn't care where it lands or if the land is ready for it or anything. God just throws God's love, God's grace, God's mercy everywhere to everyone. And that's such an important thing for us to realize. You know, we were baptized in Jesus. We were baptized in the waters and baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we receive that love, that grace, all that mercy. We receive that every day. It is just showered on us with abandon. God doesn't care where it lands. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the gift of your grace. Thank you for showering us with so much love every single day. Thank you for showering everybody with your love. Amen. Thank you. I will see you next week.
The first reading is from Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. God's word to Israel, Israel's exiles, is as sure and effective as never-failing precipitation. Their return to the Holy Land is a new exodus, is cheered on by singing mountains and by trees that clap their hands. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be fulfilled.
To you, the one who answers prayer, to you all flesh shall come.
Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions.
Happy are they whom you choose and draw to your courts to dwell there. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple.
Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the oceans far away.
You make firm the mountains by your power, and you are girded about with might.
You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the peoples.
Those who dwell at the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy.
You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, and so you provide for the earth.
You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges with heavy rain. You soften the ground and bless its increase.
You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty.
May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy.
May the meadows cover themselves with flocks and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is no condemnation for those who live in Christ. God sent Christ to accomplish what the law was unable to do, condemn sin and free us from its death-dealing ways. The Spirit now empowers proper actions and values in our lives and gives us the promise of resurrected life. St. Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your immortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. In Matthew's Gospel, both Jesus and his disciples sow the seed of God's word by proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, in a memorable parable, Jesus explains why this good news produces different results in those who hear. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that Jesus got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up, and other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose and they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them, and other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what is sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word But the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is having a problem. That I would love to have. That when I preach on Sunday morning, the crowds would be so great that I would have to go sit out in a boat to avoid being consumed by the growing congregation on the shore. And as I look around our congregation today, I have to laugh because there's not too many people sitting here. So I guess I don't have to go out in a boat in the middle of the lake to preach this morning. But when I was a brand new pastor, I was at a congregation that had been growing by leaps and bounds. Leaps and bounds. There was another congregation in the same area that had a mission developer pastor. And for whatever reason, that church was having trouble growing. And part of it had to be the location where the congregations were located and all this kind of stuff. But those things have changed radically over the years for both of those congregations. So as we look at this parable today, it's often we look at it from the viewpoint of the farmer planting, the crops and what the soil was all like. And I mentioned in my announcements that I was so happy to look outside and see some of my flowers finally growing. And I realized I did nothing to the soil to help them grow. I finally put some fertilizer down. So usually when we're planting something, we try to create a way for the seeds to be able to grow and to nurture. And so in the parable today, the story today, we hear about a farmer who's gone out to sow that seed, and the farmer seems very, very careless, sowing seed along the path where birds would eat it up, on rocky places where plants would sprout very quickly, but with shallow roots that the sun would scorch, and other seeds scattered among the thorns that would outgrow the plants and choke them out. Seeds going all over those places besides its intended destination among the good soil. So this parable, talking about this farmer, but surely not about a farmer who knows what he's doing. There's no mention of plowing the field or irrigating or fertilizing it. The farmer carelessly sows seed without thinking much about maximum yield of his field, depending on a miracle for any kind of harvest at all. Modern day farmers and pastors don't depend on miracles. They plan ahead, plowing and irrigating and fertilizing and minimizing waste by sowing seed with some precision, recognizing that minimizing waste means maximizing profit. But Jesus admires this less economical farmer, and he interprets his parable far away from the crowds so that only the disciples now could hear it. The disciples who, in a way, are sowers sowing the good news of the kingdom of God. And to them, those who would soon be entrusted with spreading the gospel to all the earth, Jesus offers a parable about a farmer who sows seeds and lets the rest up to God. Like modern farmers, we do our best to control everything that we can. Sometimes I get teased that my middle name is Control. We maximize the soil's fertility, adding Miracle-Grow, doing our best not to leave too much of the process up to chance or up to God. When we seem to be successful, the temptation is to take credit for a job well done. And when we seem to struggle, we assume, and you all know what the word assume breaks down to, we assume that we have done something wrong. We haven't planned enough. We want to maximize our yields, minimize our waste, and with the opportunity to control more and more, to know more and more, we run the risk of forgetting that ours is a vital but ultimately small part of the great miracle God has been doing in our world since the dawn of creation. Our seed must be sown, or there will never be a crop, but by no means is the harvest up to us. We must sow the seeds, but we must also trust that what will grow will grow, and what doesn't is out of our control. Can you imagine that? Out of our control? Out of my list making and checking things off and making sure things are done? Some things are out of our control. Our world is changing and has changed so fast in the last 4 months. And like many of you, I'm worried about many, many things, including the future of the church. How will our new pastor get to know each one of us? We're accustomed to meeting our pastor around coffee and cake and at dinners and at the ball field. But life has changed and probably is not going to go back to what we are accustomed to 4 months ago. And that is causing such serious sadness and sense of loss on the part of all of us. Some days more, some days less. Our world has changed. Our world is changing. And I worry, as I said, about the future of the church. I worry about the future of so many things. I worry about the world that we are living in. How will we plant those seeds of hope and grace and love and peace? When around us, we are surrounded with so much apathy and cynicism that are just kind of eating up all these seeds. I worry too about the soil. How are our children going to continue learning about the love of Jesus in their lives? How are our children going to learn to love Jesus? How are our children going to get to know each other and be friends in a Christian community? I worry, and sometimes I'm known to get up in the middle of the night and send emails off to people because I get so worried and I'm making my lists and I'm trying so hard to control everything. And that's where this gospel comes into play. Because the bottom line is, I know in my head I cannot control everything. Sometimes my head and my heart don't connect. But I know I cannot control everything. And it's so hard to know what to give up to God and just say, okay, God, it's in your hands. I've done what I can. You take over. It's hard to know, isn't it? We are humans. We are human beings with feelings and dreams and hopes and passions. And as I hear the gospel, and I've totally gone off text at this point, as I hear the gospel words, it is Jesus who is sowing these seeds of love and grace and peace and hope and promise for a future. It is in Jesus that we place our hope and our trust and our dreams for the future. as we try to walk into this future that is so unknown, as we walk these fields that haven't been fertilized for what we're dealing with today. There's no Miracle-Grow that can help us right now. Our trust is in Jesus. The steadfast love of God will sustain us, carry us through the next days, through the hope and the dreams and planning and excitement and nervousness of calling a brand new pastor. As a congregation, we will be there to support our brand new pastor. As our brand new pastor finds new ways to sow the seed and get to know each one of us. We can trust in our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was risen from the dead. We have the promise of resurrected life, of new life. Not something that you and I can control, but it is there. It is our promise that we can hold on to. Amen.
Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil. Hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil. Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil.
called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. Let us pray for our hearts to be good soil, to trust in you, gracious God. We pray for those convalescing and homebound and all affected by isolation, for our first responders, military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, all essential workers, those working tirelessly serving their neighbors and keeping us safe. We pray especially for our Stephen ministers and their care receivers, for Millie and Oliver, and those we name silently in our hearts or aloud on our lips. We pray for our new pastor. We pray for our discernment in the days ahead. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, your mercy is great. Gracious God, your word has been sown in many ways and places. We pray for missionaries and newly planted congregations around the world. Inspire us by their witness to the faith we share. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, the mountains and hills burst into song, and the trees and fields clap their hands in praise. We pray for the birds and animals who make their homes in the trees, and for land stripped bare by deforestation. Empower us to sustainably use what you have given. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reigning God, we pray for our nation's leaders. Increase their desire for justice and equality. We pray for our enemies. Bridge the chasms that divide us and guide authorities to a deep and lasting peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Abiding God, care for all who are in need. For those who are doubting, renew faith. For those who are worrying, provide release. For those who are struggling, ease burdens. For those in fear, give hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Renewing God, revive your church in this place. Nourish and nurture the seeds you have planted, that we might grow as disciples. Replace what has been depleted. Sustain our ministers and deepen relationships with the wider community. Be with our pastoral candidate and this congregation as we strive to hear and do your will. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Eternal God, we give thanks for all who have died. Comfort us in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now as we get ready to share the peace of Christ with one another, I hope you have your phones ready so that you can send out a virtual passing of the peace or text or email it to someone. So the peace of Christ be with you always. And now let us pray the Lord's Prayer using the words that Jesus taught us and the more familiar words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, before I do the final blessing, we're going to do a blessing of our face masks. These are essential for everyone's health. They are essential to show the love of our neighbor, of our family, of our friends. And yes, they are inconvenient at times. I am the first one to admit it. But they will help slow down this dreaded disease, COVID. So let us pray. God of health and wholeness, of neighbor, love, and kindness, bless this mask, my slight shield against great ills. Bless the fabric that repels the drops, the ties that go behind my ears, the wire that fits snugly against my nose, the folds that cup my chin. Make me grateful for my mask, even when it makes me hot, even when I look funny in it, even when I'm dying to take it off. Bless me also and everyone who, for their own and others' sake, put on this holy inconvenience every day, our minds and hearts made up to love one another. And now live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him and abound in thanksgiving and the blessing of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
And now, go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.